This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the Onside Kick. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the Mark Weber.
Dub them ease.
And I can officially say, Mark, we are, 4 weeks, is it? 3 or 4 weeks away from our divisional previews here on the Onside Kick.
Coming up, I'm very excited.
This is the one thing where I'm like, okay, in June and July, we're going to do our divisional previews. And now I'm like, wait, I got to go through the month of May now before I can just look at divisions.
Can we get to some football?
It's right now baseball. I know baseball right now, I've been listening to ESPN radio like I always do. They're calling it Baseball Central or the City of Baseball because both our teams are doing well. But, man, do I miss some football. And we've got some jam-packed football topics for you on this podcast. We're going to be talking about Melvin Gordon. Can he bounce back this season? Will my Minnesota Vikings be the Super Bowl 51 or L1 or L.I.?
Lee.
The Super Lee champions. And then we're going to be talking some Oakland Raiders moving possibly to the Sin City. But before we get into all that, I got to take the time to quickly pump our Patreon page. If you support the podcast each and every week and want a little bit extra, you're like, man, I love the podcast, but I wish I could have some more. Go to our Patreon page. If you can give a little bit extra support, we've got some cool rewards and some extra kind of gifts and stuff for you guys for your extra support if you want to do so. If not, you still get everything that you want, like the Onside Kick, and we're going to get right into it. Melvin Gordon had surgery, Mark, on his knee back in January, and I don't know about you. If I am a Charger fan, I'm a little bit worried about this because Melvin Gordon didn't have the best of rookie seasons.
That's why I'd almost say I don't know if I am worried about it because he didn't do very much worth kind of caring about. I'm not really feeling like I'm going to miss out on very much. We had one of the worst rushing attacks in the entire league last year. I'm not that upset about this because we're not missing anything. There was one team that was worse off than we were. That was it. It can only get better from here pretty much, right? You can go one spot lower and that's it. It's got to be better than this. I mean, you're just hoping that something makes him better. Something makes him able to bounce back and be the guy that everybody kind of expected him to be coming out of the draft, being one of the top two running backs taken.
Didn't have a single rushing touchdown last season. And if you're like, Ricky, I forgot what Gordon's stats were. Ran for 641 yards, averaged 3.5 yards per carry, 0 touchdowns, and fumbled the ball 5 times. And to me, if I'm the Chargers, I'm taking a serious look. I think that this is the year that Melvin Gordon needs to do something. Because if he doesn't, I'm going to go as far to say that maybe the Chargers in next year's draft, whether it be first round, second round, or further, look at a guy that, hey, you know what? If we suck far enough, if Leonard Fournette, if they're in a position to get Fournette next year, they'll possibly go with him. I think it's going to go that far. Okay, if you don't do good this season, we've got to replace you.
Well, they have to do something, that's for sure. Because the passing game is not what the problem is. The passing game's never the problem for San Diego. Right now, their biggest issue is they can't get the run game going. And then that defense just isn't very good. It's not terrible, but it's not very good either. So they have a lot of work to do. That might be one option and one thing to address it. Because like we always say with these guys like Tony Romo, Eli Manning's getting to there now, Drew Brees. These are the guys where you got only a few more chances to try and strike gold and get that Super Bowl. You know, Phillip Rivers doesn't have that many seasons left. Not only are they thinking about what are we going to do later on for a quarterback situation, but they got to think about what we can do right now to take advantage of what we do have. And the passing game's great. The defense needs to improve a little bit. But if the defense isn't amazing, that's okay if you have that great run game to make that offense unstoppable.
Well, and I mean, I'm even going to go out there and say that the now this doesn't fall completely on Melvin Gordon. This is kind of a Charger thing as a whole, but I just can't help but look at that division right now. And the thing for the AFC West that is going to be the most interesting is the King of the Mountaintop is very weak. The Broncos, who last year Super Bowl champions, winner of the AFC West, they have a huge question at quarterback because they don't have Peyton Manning leading their team.
Nope.
And the guy that is most likely going to take over week one is Mark Sanchez. This is a division that, I mean, the Chargers have got to be in there, but you can take Raiders and Chiefs as well. They need to be looking at, hey, we got to get a run game going, support for Phillip Rivers, because this could be one of the only years that you see that window to take the division. Mm-hmm. You got to strike on it, because who knows what happens. Paxton Lynch develops this year, and then, boom, the window shuts next year.
He could be great. You know, Alex Smith is doing well out there. Derek Carr, of course, for the Raiders. You have these, you know, you have the two young guys developing.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do need to kind of strike while the iron's hot. I mean, the Broncos are definitely still the team to beat. But it's not like last year where they were just gone with it. You know, they took it because that defense was amazing. The defense had taken a little bit of a step back, of course, because players leaving. And then Peyton Manning's gone, too. So you lose that, and you're completely starting over because, of course, Brock Osweiler's he's gone, too. He's over in Houston, the site of Super Bowl Lee. Just wanted to say Super Bowl Lee again. So, I mean, it really kind of is up for grabs. So they need a guy like Gordon to really step up and be who he was supposed to be. You might remember all the way back from the draft previews, you know, 2 years ago now. This was the guy I was saying he was the one who was going to do it. Todd Gurley, you know, I was unsure if he could bounce back from his injury issues. But Melvin Gordon, I felt good about him. And then he completely disappointed me last season, just as the Chargers always do. They always disappoint me. But somehow I still have hope for them, just like I do with this one. You know, the question of can Melvin Gordon bounce back and do something in this season, I think he can. Now, part of the reason I think he can is because he only got 600 yards in 14 games. That's fucking terrible. But, you know, no touchdowns at all. That's just awful. But here's the thing. Do I know he's going to do better? I'm not sure. I mean, the offensive line, they got a lot of work they got to do as well. So, San Diego Chargers, I'm not completely convinced that they are going to step up and do it, just like I'm not convinced that Melvin Gordon is, because there's no... Anytime you have hope for the San Diego Chargers, they let you down. So what I'm trying to say is don't have hope.
You had so much hope for them. What was it, 2 years ago?
2 years ago and this year, and this past season.
You usually are the Charger fanboy of MVP.
Because they should be really good. They've got everything they need to be great.
They've got Phillip Rivers.
They got Phillip Rivers.
The bolo. They got the bolo, baby.
And he does love his bolo, that's for sure. But the team is good. I mean, the defense isn't great, but they're not bad. They're definitely there. When you have Floyd, when you have Allen up there for your wide receivers, you have great options, of course. Antonio Gates might not be what he once was, but he's still a solid force out there. You have everything you need. You know, Woodhead's not the number one guy. Melvin Gordon was supposed to be the number one guy, and it doesn't happen. I mean, you can see right now with the defense being fairly average, not terrible, but not great, with the offense passing attack being one of the best in the NFL, they're just missing one thing. And it doesn't really make complete sense to me why a team in this state was 4-12 last year. A lot of those games they kind of could have won, and they should have been able to win those, but they didn't let themselves do it. A running game will let them do it, and a running game that works well is exactly what the Chargers want, because it'll mask some of those flaws on the defense when you don't let the defense go out there that much.
Here's something I'm going to bring up, and this is an interesting to kind of like the timeline of this injury. Okay, so Gordon has the microfracture surgery they said in January is when he had the actual surgery, and he's expecting to be fully healthy for the start of training camp at the end of July. However, I'm not, as of right now in May, I'm not even like, before we talk about will he bounce back, will he even bounce back to the field? Because Jadeveon Clowney in 2014 also had microfracture surgery. And here's the timeline for Jadeveon. And I know that all cases aren't exact carbon copies, but this could be taken into consideration where September of 14, he gets the surgery. They say, oh, it's 4 to 6 weeks. That's when they thought it was just to repair a meniscus. By the time we get to December 4th, nearly 4 months after he got the surgery, he was placed on IR. Then he didn't even come back to the field until September of 2015. And I know you're saying, well, Ricky, he was placed on IR and he kind of for the offseason couldn't play during the offseason because there were no games going on. That's why it took him a full year to get recovered. But the thing I think you can take this into effect, 4 to 6 weeks would be right around the end of or beginning or middle of February. That's not the case because that's when they thought Jadeveon had the meniscus tear. This microfracture surgery, I'm looking at it, it took him 4 months to be placed on the IR. 4 months from January is right around where we're sitting right now. Would have been last month, actually. And the thing I look at is if it took Jadeveon Clowney a year to get back, is there a possibility through training camp we go, hey, Gordon, you're not starting week one, and he misses a few weeks of the season. I'm not saying he's going to miss the entire season, but there's even a possibility he could miss some games off the front.
Yeah, for sure. If they got to, you know, if they got to kind of, I don't want to say redshirt him because I don't think that's going to be the correct term.
Well, he's not going to be sitting out the whole year.
Yeah, he's going to play at points in the year. But if they have to have him miss, you know, the first quarter, maybe the first half of a season, honestly, it might not be the worst thing in the world. You never want to hear this. You never want to talk like this.
You can't have him miss half the season.
Well, you
I'm talking about like a week or two.
Yeah, but if it's a very serious injury, I mean, he just got that surgery in January. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance he could miss quite a bit of time.
I say do it this way, too. You ain't playing the preseason. However, you got to look at it as, do you not play him in the preseason to help the injury, or do you play him in the preseason because he needs that kind of, like, he needs that game experience because he had such a bad season in his rookie year.
Yeah, and this isn't Adrian Peterson who you can just plug and play. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who needs to get that confidence back going. You know, like we said, 14 games, only 600-some yards, not good. We're not happy about that for sure. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the beginning of the season isn't terrible. You know, they can afford to not have Melvin Gordon in there for some of these games, like against the Chiefs, against the Jaguars. Well, I know that's an up-and-coming team, but they can still compete for sure. The Colts did not show much last year. The Saints, we don't really know where the Saints are at. Mm-hmm. It's not really until they get to week five against the Raiders, then the Broncos again in a couple weeks. That's when they really need to have Melvin Gordon back because they need to be firing on all cylinders in the middle of the season and then again at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They're really going to need both those two things to be there. Otherwise, this is going to be yet another, you know, 5-6 win season and nothing really to show for it. And you can't have yet another mediocre season if you're the San Diego Chargers.
Well, and another reason why I bring up why Gordon needs to have, to me, he needs to bounce back. This isn't a season of will he bounce back, will he not. He needs to bounce back this season because if he doesn't bounce back, I am telling you that right now the Chargers, and a lot can change whether it's going to be round one or round two, but the Chargers will, depending on where they fall in the draft, be looking at a guy like Fournette if they're early enough, a Dalvin Cook out of Florida State, a Nick Chubb out of Georgia. And I know we're far away from the 2017 draft. There's a lot of things that still play into it. how well the Chargers do for their draft order, how well the prospects do in the season, and can they avoid injury to have a good enough draft stock. Also, depending on what other teams do, there's a lot of variables that you can't predict at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised if Melvin Gordon, whether it's due to injury or just him not being able to perform to the level, if after 2 years the Chargers go, hey, we got to fix this problem, because one point that you made, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger, and his window as a quarterback for the Chargers closes each and every year. And I'm not saying like a Phillip Rivers is bad. I'm just saying he's getting older.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Tony Romo in for the Cowboys.
You only that's have why they so much left in the tank.
And that's why they drafted Dak Prescott. And another
Although they really wanted Paxton Lynch.
No, they did.
Jones has made it clear that he did not really care about drafting Dak Prescott.
And just to go on that, this is now the second time Jerry Jones has missed on a quarterback he really liked. The first one being Johnny Football.
So
now
what's Paxton
Lynch.
What's that tell you about Paxton Lynch?
He's going to be watching the draft from a bar in a couple years?
Apparently.
What, 4 years?
If the pattern continues. Something I want to mention with the Chargers, too, is one reason why they need Melvin Gordon to come back and they need him to hit well. Because they can't be in the situation that you're pointing out where they're going to be early on drafting maybe a quarterback,
or
maybe
a running back
in this situation. They can't have that because of Mike McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
3 seasons now. This is going to be his 4th season as the head coach of the San Diego Chargers. 9-7, 9-7, 4-12. He hasn't had success. His first year was probably the best because they actually got to a playoff game, but they have not had success under Mike McCoy. And if they have another year where they're below 500, he's got to go, right? He's got to go because he's not getting it done. You know, he did well in Denver as an offensive coordinator, but he's not doing it as a head coach. That's not good. You're going to be in a situation where soon you're going to need a new quarterback. It's a really good time to do that. If you're early on, get a new coach. Let him get his guy that he feels good about, you know, because the GM's going to listen to his new coach about, all right, what kind of quarterback do you want? Because, of course, every year there's going to be a few guys that are considered for number one.
Yeah.
And let this guy choose the one that he wants to have if Mike McCoy's out. Because I say there's been mediocrity for too long in San Diego for the Chargers. If something is not going well, if we're not above 500 in the season, coach has got to go. We got to do something new. We got to try something different.
And plus, on the side of Melvin Gordon, I'm going to throw it out there. For Charger fans that have been around for a while, you are not filling the smallest of shoes when it comes to guys that have played the position of running back for the Chargers. And the reason why I say that is this is a team that in its history did have LT as its running back. It had LaDainian Tomlinson. So to me, that's what I think. Like, if I'm an old Charger fan, I go, hey, I don't think you're going to come in and be the next LT, but you have to be able to put the team on your back like LT did for us as a running back.
Yeah. Well, the Chargers are a team that want to run the ball. They do. I mean, that's the way Charger football works. I say this as a Bears fan. Yeah, Mark Trestman came in here and said, we're going to throw the ball like hell because we got Jay Cutler and we got Brandon Marshall. We can do this. But at the end of the day, we're saying, hey, we're a running football team. We run the football. That's what you want to do. That's what the Chargers want. That's why they want a guy like Melvin Gordon to be able to do that. If he's not that guy, they got to get somebody to do it. But I'm saying, you know, we're not in prediction mode yet. We're not in preview mode yet. But this is a make-or-break season for guys like Mike McCoy, for Melvin Gordon, for Phillip Rivers. I put Phillip Rivers in there just because he's aging out, basically. But, hey, you know, it's now or never. You don't have much left.
Well, I mean, some of the other running backs, Ryan Matthews, when he was with the Chargers, he was a pretty good running back. I mean, Danny Woodhead's been serviceable. Brendan Oliver. It's like if you're Melvin Gordon, you have to channel what the old guys. I use LT as the main guy because he was arguably the greatest Charger running back ever to put on the powder blues. But also, when you come out of college and your senior year in college, you have 2,587 yards, an average of 7.5 yards per carry, and 29 tutties.
Yeah.
You better live up to that.
You don't want to be Trent Richardson.
Especially when a team takes you 15th overall, because we all know what Mel Kiper thinks about taking running backs in the first round.
And I agree with Mel Kiper. But you gotta don't be Trent Richardson in this situation. Don't fall off. Don't be nothing.
I'm going to put it on this way. Zeke has got to be saying, I don't want to be like Melvin Gordon. He was taken even higher than number 15.
Yeah. Well, he's really thinking, I don't want to be Trent Richardson. Yeah. Well, Trent was number 3 or number 2 overall? I
want to say he was 4 because that was the year where the Vikings were right behind the Browns, and we traded with the Browns to swap picks so that we could take Khalil, and then they took Richardson.
So there you go. Don't be Trent Richardson. That's the moral of the story, please.
Yeah, Trent Richardson's with the Ravens now.
Yeah, and he thinks, you know, maybe this will finally be it. I'll finally turn it around.
You're right. He was 3rd overall.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it was. It was we were at 3, they were at 4. They traded up to get Richardson, and then we took Khalil.
So Zeke, you're one off
behind him, yeah.
You got one pick worth of less pressure.
Let's be honest. That trade to this day, I sit there and go, why? Because Andrew Luck went, RG3 went. At number 3, I knew we were going to take Matt Khalil.
Yeah.
We were going to take an offensive tackle. We have fucking AP. Why would we even have to take Trent Richardson?
Well, they don't necessarily think you were going to do it. They thought someone would trade with the Vikings. Take him.
Okay.
That's what the thought process was.
I didn't even think that we were trading with anybody.
They should have been glad that, you know, that the Vikings would be willing to trade and let somebody else take that burden off of the Browns' hands. That was the year of awful trades. Trent Richardson trade and RG3 trade.
Yep.
Only to be beaten possibly, we'll see in like 5 years,
by the
possibly
Eagles,
beaten
Browns.
By Eagles-Brown trade. Because the Browns, of course, always got to be involved with bad trades.
However,
but this case,
this
they're on the good
the one,
side
yeah,
of it.
Where they're on the winning side.
For once, they do something right.
But we're going to end this one before we go into our next topic. And we're going to end it by saying, final answer, does Melvin Gordon bounce back in 2016?
He has to, yes.
Right now, I'm going to say no. If I'm leaning on it, no, he does not. And the Chargers are looking for a running back.
Not a new
draft.
Head coach?
Oh,
new
man.
Head coach?
What kind of deal? Like, Charger fans, I know you don't want to see this, but me as a non-Charger fan, I think it would work better for your future. If you do bad enough, you fire Mike McCoy, get someone in there that can just competently run a team, and then you have the possibility to draft Leonard Fournette in the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I would take Leonard Fournette over Melvin Gordon right now any day.
I will say that someone down in the comment section is going to complain about how we're giving Mike McCoy kind of a bad break. Because he was over 500 twice.
Hey, there have been
and last year there were issues.
There have been coaches that have been fired for worse. Yeah. Look at
you
Chud.
You can get Chud. Yeah,
look
you can
at
get
Chud.
Chudded. Lovie Smith.
I love when we're on
he
the
was
same
having
mental
things going
path.
Well. You know, things happen. I mean,
Smith got fired for going 10-6.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't beat the Packers.
You could never beat the Packers. Now, I always would say, you know, remember John Harbaugh, too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Harbaugh. Goes to a Super Bowl, AFC Championship games, you get back to college. So Mike McCoy can get fired for 2 over 800s and a 4-12.
Okay.
And then one more.
Okay, we're going to move on, and I'm going to start this next segment of the podcast just by reading a quote. And this is what Adrian Peterson told the Monday Morning Quarterback, TheMMQ.com. He said, and I quote, "We are going to have a good chance to win it this year. Win everything. Sit back and watch. Sit back and watch. You can be like, I thought you guys were at least a couple years away. Nope. You sit back and watch this year." End quote.
Some of you might be wondering who Adrian Peterson is. He is a running back who effectively runs the ball, and when he gets hurt, he comes back and does amazing things. So, kind of what
Melvin Gordon wants to be.
Yeah, he is exactly. He is the idol here. He is the dream. So I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't. Because one, do the Minnesota Vikings have a team set up for good stuff? Oh, yeah. I mean, they're set up for great things right now. I mean, they have Adrian Peterson. They got one of the best running backs, if not the best running back out there. Their defense did a great job last year. You know, they were kind of middle of the pack with letting teams score against them, but the defense was definitely very good. The problem they have is the passing game. So is that addressed? Is Laquon Treadwell the answer? Because that's really what it is. You can't be the Vikings and go back in exactly kind of, you know, in the same ground with good defense, good run game, no quarterback. You can't do that. You aren't the Denver Broncos. Well, it's not going to work for you.
And the thing I will say for this year that helps out is, what did we go ahead and do? We effectively got Teddy Bridgewater. I'm going to say two weapons, because not only did we get a Laquon Treadwell, we got a guy who, of course, he's a mystery because he's coming over from Germany. But, man, if Boehringer can do something positive for this team, to have him, Diggs, and Treadwell to just give fucking Teddy somebody to throw to, because that's what we need. We need somebody that's going to be there to make plays for Teddy Bridgewater, because the one thing I'm repeating from Waddle and Sylvie when I listened to him this week, I think it was Silverman even said, he went, yeah, man, I just got to give him credit. He did everything he could to bring that team down the field, and then the kicker messed it up.
Yeah. Didn't the kicker mess it up twice?
Yeah, but everyone remembers him for that last mess up.
Yeah. But he messed
laces
it up twice.
Laces in. Why are laces in? Laces should be out.
Yeah, now that's not the kicker's fault. That's the holder's fault.
Laces should be fucking out, but I'm not going to go back there. I had to go to therapy for that.
Yeah.
And we made a lot of headway, and I'm not falling back into that dark place.
But, you know,
the
point that always needs to be made is, you guys did put yourself in that situation. You could have done better earlier on.
We also got a cornerback to help on the defensive side. Yep. But this draft was about getting Teddy weapons. We got him weapons. We got him a tackle to help protect him. This draft for us was all about, what can we do to help you, Teddy?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help?
Unfortunately for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater and just the Vikings in general, the rest of the division, excluding the Lions really, are right there as well. Because the Packers got Jordy Nelson back, and that's really all they needed to do. Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback. And the Chicago Bears defense is better. Is the offense going to be improved? I don't know. We'll find out. But the defense, it got better, so that's what really matters. So I know Ricky always says it's the three-headed race there between the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. It's going to be tough. I really look at their schedule, and they don't have it easy. You know, they have a couple games here and there where you can be like, yeah, they probably got that one. Well, I mean, they played the Lions twice.
The biggest toss-ups to me, and the thing that makes...
I'm going hard on, like, the Lions today, by the way.
Well, the thing that makes this kind of schedule the toughest is the Colts, the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Texans. It's basically that South, that AFC South, except for the Titans. I know the Titans did good things, but I think we can beat them week one. And I'm sorry for the Cowboys. I'm sorry about the Redskins. That's going to be a tough game. I know what I'm getting from the Redskins, though. It's those other teams, because the Colts, how are you going to bounce back with Andrew Luck here? Jacksonville, are you going to finally make that step into a quality team? The Eagles, how are you going to do it? Carson Wentz is your starter. Houston, how are you going to do in the Brock the Cock Osweiler era? And then the Giants, how are you going to do without Tom Coughlin? They're question marks all over the field, to whereas right now, sitting here doing this podcast, I can't call those wins or losses. I can effectively say I feel confident that we'll split with the Bears. You win in Chicago, we'll win in Minnesota. And with Green Bay, I feel the same thing. That week two, as of right now, and I will say this to the end of time for this year, September 18th, there's no way the Packers walk into that new stadium and win that game. We are winning that first stadium, that first game in the new stadium. They're not going to play spoiler just because of all the emotion that's going to go into opening that thing. It's not going to happen. So we'll split with the Packers, split with the Bears, and then we just got to sweep the Vikings, or sweep the Lions, I should say.
Yeah.
However, usually when I pick sweeps over the Lions, they either sweep us or get a split.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting. I don't know with the Vikings. I mean, like I said, They're a team that should be that way because they're kind of set up to do it. The thing that is, Laquon Treadwell really needs to show up and be the real deal. Not only that, but if he gets double covered, you know, obviously Diggs Stephon was doing pretty Diggs. Well, but he's got to do it again. He's really got to be a solid number two option.
Because it's official. We're moving on from Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, he's gone.
Like, they're saying they're not picking up the option. He's gone. We're moving on from him. I really think Boehringer has to do something. I know he's a late-round pick, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even see the field, but we just need playmakers to go out there and catch the ball for the Vikings. And this is the year, like I said, we needed to get Teddy help. Now, the guys that we got to help Teddy, now it has to be, hey, we got you weapons.
Now you have to
show us what you can do, Teddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have that excuse anymore. Now it's on you. So it's going to be interesting for sure. I think the Vikings are a team that can get to the playoffs. I don't see them as a deep run team just yet. I got to see them play because I need to be able to see how, you know, how this kid from Germany is going to do. I need to see how Laquon Treadwell is going to translate to the NFL because I had him as my favorite
number one.
Yeah, I had him as my favorite wide receiver coming out of the draft. So is he gonna live up to that? We'll have to see. And then it really comes down to Teddy Bridgewater. I know you love the guy for what he can do and what he's shown.
Here's the perfect analogy
I'm not sold yet.
Here's the perfect analogy I heard for Teddy Bridgewater, and I completely agree with it, and I do love Teddy Bridgewater, is Teddy's not the guy that's going to go out there and win you the Super Bowl. He's not going to go out there and be like, Teddy, it's all on your back. Win us this game. He's going to do exactly what he has to do to put the team in the position to win it. But he's not going to be the one.
And then the kicker's going
to
mess it up.
To win it. Exactly. Like one of that. Or it's going to be, if we're going to win in this season, it's going to be Teddy does enough just to, and I'm not saying like Rex Grossman just enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying he does his job. He plays effectively. And the two things that'll decide this year for us is defense and Adrian Peterson, because the system that Zimmer is running fits Teddy Bridgewater. You play effectively under North Turner's system, and I'm going to build you a defense, because that's the thing Mike Zimmer's trying to do. The Anthony Barr, the Kendricks, when he drafted Rhodes. I know Rhodes didn't come out and have a stellar season right away. When we get Mackenzie Alexander this year, we are trying to build a stable defense that can carry the team, because I feel like with a Mike Zimmer team, the defense gets the job done. Teddy just does enough. Just does enough to be effective put us in the opportunity.
You
want to
look at the Denver Broncos, essentially.
Exactly.
Great defense, great run game. Quarterback does whatever, doesn't mess it up.
Exactly. Peyton Manning didn't have to go out there and be old Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to go out there and be Tom Brady. He just had to put his team in the right situation.
Yeah, which is what the Vikings need to do. They're going to have a tough time doing it, of course. Tough schedule. They got to hope things come back. They got the Packers bouncing back strong. They have the Chicago Bears trying to do it, trying to get back in there. It is John Fox's second year as head coach. Typically, he goes to a Super Bowl in that situation, just putting out what the pattern is. So it's going to be interesting for sure. You know, I have trouble seeing the Vikings anything less than 9 wins unless something goes catastrophically wrong. Unless, you know, Teddy Bridgewater just breaks Adrian Peterson, who also
breaks.
You
know what? I said I wasn't going to do it, but fuck
it. Yeah, go ahead.
As of right now,
declare your Super Bowl winner right here, Ricky.
You're going to get the preliminary Ricky Whitmer, what I think. At Tennessee, You keep track, Mark. You keep track for me. So at Tennessee, I think it's going to be a win. Home against Green Bay, I'll put it down as a win right now. At Carolina, because of what Carolina, I know they don't have Josh Norman, but I'm gonna mark it as a loss. So 2-1. Monday night against the Giants, I'll go win as of right now. But the thing is, I don't know what to expect from the Giants yet this season. I got to see what happens with their new addition. So that's going to be 3-1. Houston at home. I want to go 4-1. Fuck it. I'm going to go 4-1 into the bye week. Philadelphia's a joke. 5-1. Bears at Chicago. I'll give it to the Bears. at 5-2. Lions in Minnesota, 6-2. Washington on the road. I'm going to go 6-3, and then Arizona at home, 6-4. So we lose those two. Then at Detroit, Thursday night. That's Thanksgiving, right? The 24th of November.
Sounds about right.
So I'm going to go win because Detroit doesn't play well on Thanksgiving when they play NFC North opponents. So what, that's 7-4. Dallas, another Thursday night game. I'll give it to Chicago. I'll give it to Minnesota, I mean, but I mean Dallas, I don't know what to expect from them. 8 wins. Jacksonville's 9. Indianapolis, because it's at home, I'll go 10. And then it's going to be 11 wins because Packers will be a loss, and then Bears, I said the split, so 11 wins. However, I would not be surprised. The way I'm going to call it, because to fit my prediction, is that last game on New Year's Day is going to be winner gets the 5, loser gets the 6 in the wild card.
There you go. The only things that I would, and they're not going to be surprising to you, the only things I would call, I'm very high on the Giants this year. I know that there's a question mark right now, but I'm very high on
it. I said coin toss it right now.
I feel good about the Texans this season, too, but I'm not going to give that game to the Texans. I just feel good about them.
As of right now, and to be honest, the main reason why I picked both of those is wins.
Mm-hmm.
The Giant one, I'm not as high as them yet as I am as you are. And that Houston one, I know they added Brock. I know they added some pieces like Lamar Miller, but it's at home, so I gave it to the Vikings right now.
I'm not sure about those Redskins. Don't know what to think about them.
Yeah, I only gave it to them because it was on the road in Washington. Yeah,
I think the Cowboys have a good opportunity to be a bounce-back team because of Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great game.
Man, what if that game was AP versus Zeke and they just went blow for blow?
Exactly, because you have the Adrian Peterson, and then you got the young gun who's going to be the next Adrian Peterson. And then the Colts, I mean, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what they bounce back, what they're going to be this year. So many question marks, but that's kind of the issue with, you know, saying these things early on,
because
we haven't seen training camp yet. We haven't seen, or at least much of camp type of situations yet. We haven't seen the preseason. We haven't seen any of that. So it's a lot of a question mark. It's going to be tough. The NFC this year, I think that race is just going to be, those wild card spots are going to be really difficult.
I really believe that the Bears and the Vikings are going to have both of them.
I think the Vikings could go ahead and win the division again. I think they can win the division again, possibly. They just have to beat the Packers to do it.
The only reason I'm not giving it to them as of right now is the Packers have Jordy Nelson coming back.
Yep.
They have their complete team.
And That's why I'm saying they got to beat the Packers.
I think it was on the Behind the Pen that just went up. The segment just went up recently on the YouTube, but it was last week's Behind the Pen that we talked about it. We kind of took a look at the Bears roster, and I think it was Sean that said, great, they get Jordy Nelson back, and we didn't add anybody in the secondary that can, like, go up against and play along with Fuller on the front line.
For Chicago, they're not worried about that. They're trying to get to the quarterback first.
So Floyd's trying to get to A-Rodge.
The idea is we're going to hit the quarterback before your wide receiver has the chance to get open. That's that theory. That's one way to do it. You can argue whether you think it's a good way to do it or not, but that's one way to do it. Hit the quarterback before he's got the opportunity to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, we'll find out what happens.
And I mean, getting to the end of this, you know, when it comes to winning the Super Bowl, am I going to go out and say, fuck it, Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl? No, I'm pumping the brakes on that because this is a team that...
Because you don't want to give them the kiss of death.
Well, that and... I got to save my kiss of death. As of right now, though, I'm leaning towards the Cardinals as my kiss of death.
Of course.
So we'll see what I officially...
You did that to him last year. Well, not at the very beginning, but in the playoffs, you did it to him. Yes. And then Carson Palmer threw 5 interceptions.
Yes. It was the Colts and the Cowboys last year from the beginning of the season.
And what did both those teams do? Neither one of them made it to the playoffs.
What is it with, like, teams that I picked to win the Super... The year before when I said the Bears were going to go to the Super Bowl?
And then they got a new coach.
And then they got a new coach. That's
and a new GM. Funny how things work out.
It's I don't have luck when it comes to picking Super Bowl
winners.
My
prediction wasn't there either, but at least mine played in the conference championship game.
No, mine wasn't even didn't get there. It was just catastrophic, just injury.
Yeah.
And derailment to the team. Like, there was no, oh, okay, at least we got to the AFC championship game.
I think both my teams did get to the championship games because I had the Seahawks and I had the Patriots. I had the rematch.
Yeah, you did.
They were both there. They both just lost.
You did. Mine were like catastrophically bad.
They didn't even show up for the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, the way I see it with this Viking team is I'm going to compare it a little bit to my Cubs. Whereas last year for the Cubs, did anyone expect us to beat the Cardinals in the DS?
No.
The NLDS? No. No one expected us to get to the NLCS and be where we were. I'm going to kind of equate that to last season for the Vikings. I was high, and I said, I remember sitting here on the onside kick.
That you were.
They were going to win the wild card, and they were going to get that sixth wild card spot. And you said, no, they wouldn't. And we made that bet.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up winning the division.
They did.
And they exceeded my expectations of them. I'm hoping that that is like last year's Cub. Last year is last year's Cub season, and this year the Vikings come in, and they play lights out, just like my Cubs are doing right now. Do I think it's going to happen that way? No. But, man, would that be something special for me.
I mean, they have the potential to be that kind of surprise, lights-out team and you know, beat the Titans. Home win, like you said, against the Packers, opening the season.
You got to win the games you're expected to win. That's how you're going to get there.
The Giants and the Texans and the Eagles, those are kind of those mystery games or easier game in the Eagles sense. But if they can beat the Panthers, they can be that surprise team that goes on a run. Because there's always that team that goes on a run early and you're surprised.
Yeah.
It's just a matter if they can keep it up. You know, like the Chiefs, for example, went on a run. They did it in the opposite direction. But it wasn't that, what was it, two seasons ago or three seasons ago where they went on the run?
Mm-hmm.
Really long time, just knocking everybody out and then fell off later on.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think the Vikings, the highest I would have them, I don't say a Super Bowl. Not now. I got to see what that offense can do now. But I think they've got enough pieces to really make a run at it at least. I'll give them the run. I just don't know if they can get past the conference championship game because I think there are still better teams in the NFC.
Okay, we're going to move on now to our last topic of the podcast. And this is a fun one. The reason why I say it's a fun one, it's always fun when we get to talk relocation or realignment, however you want to look at it. This is a relocation kind of a topic, and it's simple. This week, the mayor of Las Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, said she is confident that the Raiders will relocate to Las Vegas in a quote that she told ESPN Radio's Capital Games podcast. The Raiders will come if Nevada handles this properly.
I don't know, man. I just don't. I don't see Las Vegas as a real viable site for an NFL team. Any professional team, really. They're always that they can pull off the minor leagues. They can pull off an arena, you know, whatever it is. They can do that. I just don't believe they can really hold on to an NFL team because it's just not an area. It's a tourist attraction, and that's basically it.
Here is what I first think of when I think of Las Vegas getting any kind of a professional sports team. NBA, MLB, hockey, NFL. Can you have a professional sports team in a city where gambling on sports games is legal? Boom, right there. That's the first issue with this.
Yeah.
Can you have a team like the Raiders in Las Vegas where fans can go to casinos and gamble on sporting events or sporting championships or this or that or where gambling is actually legal?
It's interesting. Obviously, the players can't do that.
That's one thing you'd have to worry about.
I would say
that you'd have to worry about it in some cases.
I think it would be pretty obvious that the players can't do it. You're not going to have, you know, the Black Sox type of situation here, mm-hmm. where you have the whole team in that case, but the well, not the whole team, but most of the team.
Derek Carr puts a little money on it, throws a key interception when he has the power.
He's going to get the Pete Rose treatment. He's going to be excommunicated from the league, banned for all of eternity. You know, it's I just think I really come down to the economics of it and the viability of it. This is a tourist location. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have the true fan base there because
it's kind of like a hosh posh of fan
bases. Yeah, I mean, it's a that, but it's also a place where people go touristy to party, to gamble, mm-hmm. to do that type of things.
Go to strip clubs.
And it's not economically, like, for the people who mm-hmm. actually live there all the time.
Yeah.
It's not a well-off area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have the money to really support. I mean, Las Vegas has money. I don't think they have necessarily have the money to support that. Plus, I also in the back of my head think, Las Vegas, you guys don't have water. Like, you guys need to focus on those type of issues. Do we really need a field that we're going to have to supply water to all the time? I'm just concerned about that. You guys are in a fucking desert.
They would get turf.
I guess that's, they would have to, yeah.
Kind of like, look at Arizona. Let's do it how they, but
I just want to bring the point that it's hot as fuck in Las Vegas.
The one thing Goodman also said is the site under consideration could host the NFL, MLS, and the University of Nevada, Las Vegas football. She said she's confident that Las Vegas would get an MLS franchise as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you'd have the Raiders and a professional U.S. soccer franchise.
Which, I mean, kind of goes to my point of, if I don't even think that you guys can really support and have the true fan base for the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders.
Soccer could work, though.
I would disagree.
The reason why is...
America doesn't care about soccer.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why. How many people tune into the MLS, and when you see mm-hmm. MLS, like... The one that I think of off the top of my head is the Portland Timbers. Portland, besides for the Timbers, has the Trailblazers. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the market of that city. And then they have the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, but Portland is a... First of all, Portland's a hip area. Hipsters like soccer.
True.
But it's also a city that has a good base there. My thing about L.A., and I might be completely off on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm not... is that it's just the people who actually live there
mm-hmm.
are not well off enough to really support this area. Las Vegas, now the surrounding areas maybe have a little bit more, mm-hmm. but Las Vegas is an area that is purely based off of the tourists. And it's just, I can't imagine that the people who come there to gamble and to party really are going to then go to a football game. Or mm-hmm. then go to a soccer game.
Here's the other thing. If the Raiders moved to Las Vegas, would the black hole, that fan base, follow them to Sin City? Because the only way this works is if the fans they have right now in Oakland move with them. And yeah. I don't know if necessarily that happens, because the thing that makes the Raiders is that black hole, kind of a, you go and it's just fans and Darth Vader masks and shoulder pads and face paint and just the crazy fans that you see in the black hole.
Oh, definitely. I don't know that they do. I really don't. It's not horrible. I mean, I don't want to just do it based off of trip, how long it would take you to drive from Oakland to Las Vegas, but about 8 to 9 hours mm-hmm. is the answer to that question.
You could fly, though.
You could fly. It would take only an hour in that case. Gonna spend, you know, like $200 to do it, but sure, knock yourself out. But I mean, I don't know if that's the thing with what I'm saying with Las Vegas, and my same issue that I had with anybody moving to LA in the first place was it's not an area where people are going to be fans of that team. This isn't Boston. You know, this isn't Green Bay. I'll even say Chicago. It's not St. Louis, mm-hmm. where like you have – oh, St. Louis is a bad example because they lost their team. But it's not this area where people are there and they've been there and they're always going to be there. You know, L.A. is a place where people have – people go to LA for other reasons, mm-hmm. and they still are going to carry their Chicago hat, their New York hat, you know, whatever it is. They're still going to be a fan of that team where they came from because it's a transplant city. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know that Las Vegas is a transplant city. I don't know it well enough.
You're just
to
saying
say that.
It's a tourist attraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's not even a transplant city. It's just an attraction that I go to mm-hmm. get away for a week or a weekend.
Yeah, exactly. It's that. So I don't know that Oakland, or I don't know that those people are going to really adopt mm-hmm. the Oakland thing. I don't think people who live in Oakland are going to give up on this team like people in LA didn't give up on them when they moved
yeah.
to Oakland. But those people are 8 hours away.
And I mean, Goodman also said, and I quote, "We're getting calls from outside the region offering to help with funding for stadium in Las Vegas." And the article then says she also said Las Vegas would be a destination for fans from the Bay Area, LA, Phoenix, and all over the West for games.
I don't know. I just think about it for myself. I would love people to go in the comment section and let mm-hmm. me know what they feel, or Twitter at TheMarkWeber. But like, how far are you really willing to drive for your average game? I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm just saying your average game.
Weekly game if you're a Raider fan, or a weekly game if you, let's say, put the Bears in this yeah. situation, you're a Bears fan.
I think of it, and it wasn't that long ago that I drove to Nashville, and I just happened to stop over at Nissan Stadium. But I think about that, and I'm like, man, that was a 6 to 7 hour drive. I don't know if I'd be willing to do that just to watch the Chicago Bears play.
And then come right back.
And, yeah, exactly. And maybe I spend a night there because it was a night game or something yeah. like that. You know, I don't even necessarily want to drive to Detroit, which is only 5 hours for me, mm-hmm. or to Green Bay, which is going
to
be less than that.
What, 3 hours?
Probably
to Green
Bay? 3 to 4. I don't really know mm-hmm. 100%, but I'm guessing around 3.
Because it's a little bit more north than Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really want to do that even, mm-hmm. and that's not that far. How far are you really willing to drive? If you're saying, you know, for people in the Bay Area, that's a 7 to 8 hour drive, if not more for certain people. Are they really going to drive 8 hours just to see the Oakland Raiders play?
I kind of see this. Is this a power play by Davis? Is this a power play to say, hey, look, we're meeting with Las Vegas to get a new stadium in Oakland?
It could be. I just kind of, I don't know. I find it very interesting. It does add to the circus that is Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
It's one more thing. And maybe you would...
And if you can get those fans to come over, it fits the city.
It does. It definitely does. Or, you know, and maybe they're hoping that, you know, guys on their bachelor party or something like that, like the people who make a trip of Las Vegas, they go and have a guys' night. College kids go there on spring break or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though spring break, there's no football. But follow me here. people who are going there for whatever reason are just going to add seeing a yeah. football game as one more thing to do.
Or a soccer game.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Because they're adding the MLS, too. Remember that.
Well, yeah. You know, they'll be like, it's cheap tickets, $25. Yeah, sure, we'll go. I don't know. It'll be interesting for sure. I'm not sure. I don't know if I believe that this can work.
Bottom line, do the Raiders move or do they stay in Oakland in your mind?
I want them to stay in Oakland. I think they do. This wasn't the team. Oakland really should be in LA with the Rams, if anything. I mean, I don't think that LA needed any teams, mm-hmm. especially not two. But yeah. if they're going
to
have
they
two.
They used to have two.
If they're going
to
have two teams, Oakland and the Rams should be there.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego should have been the team to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Instead of San Diego also joining in on the mm-hmm. LA thing. I just don't think Las Vegas is the answer. There's better places to go than Las Vegas, in my eyes.
Well, I'm going to put it this way. I think this is a power play by the Raiders. I think this is them trying to use this to say, hey, we're in talks at Las Vegas to try to get the city of Oakland scared to keep the Raiders. It's kind of like that shitty girlfriend thing. And I say shitty girlfriend because these girls are absolutely the worst. The ones where it's like, my boyfriend doesn't appreciate me. How am I going to try to get him to appreciate me? I'm going to go hang over some other guy. Or I'm going to give another guy my attention. Because then he'll want to give me attention because he'll get jealous. That's what the Raiders are doing right now. Is it necessarily the right move? Probably not. But we'll see what happens in the end. That's going to do it this week for the Onside Kick. I want to thank all of you guys for listening in. If you're on SoundCloud, go ahead, hit that heart and repost button. If you're on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to the channel if you're new. Also, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, if you want to give us a little bit extra support and be rewarded for that extra support, go check out our Patreon page. The link is down in the description. I want to thank you guys for following us. I'm at Ricky Widmer for Mark Weber at the 2E's Mark Weber. This is us signing off for the Onside Kick. But as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.